So how long I can continue this class? Or this time? So read from briefly from the Bhagavatam, and then I continue about the beginning of life comes from life dialogue. So everybody can read this, see this, the slokas. Can everybody can see from the distance? No, I'm talking about for the guests, the devotees. You can read, you can see this thing. Yeah. So I thought we start with important points which are necessary for making progress in spiritual life. So we'll start with that, and then after that I'll begin just a little outline about the background of life comes from life, Prabhupada's favorite topic. Oma jnana timirandasya jnananjana salakaya Yaksharan malitam yena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunavadi Pashyate Deshatarine. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gauravakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, please repeat. Ahimsaya.
Ahimsaya.
Paramahamsya. Paramahamsya. Charyaya, Charyaya, Smritya, Smritya, Mukunda Charita Graya, Mukunda Charita Graya, Siddhuna, Siddhuna, Yamair, Akamair, Akamair, Niyamais, Niyamais, Chapi, Chapi, Anindaya, Anindaya, Nirihaya, Nirihaya, Dondwa, Dondwa, Titikshaya cha, Titikshaya cha, Ahimsaya Paramahamsya Charyaya,
Ahimsaya Paramahamsya Charyaya,
Smritya Mukunda cha, Smritya Mukunda Charita Graya Siddhuna, Smritya Mukunda Charita Graya Siddhuna. Yamai Akamai Niyamai Sapi Anindaya. Yamai Akamai Niyamai Sapi Anindaya. Nirihaya dvandva tidikshaya cha. Nirihaya dvandva tidikshaya cha.
Ahimsaya Paramahamsa Charyaya. Smritya Mukunda Charita Graya Siddhuna. Yamai Akame Nimai Chapi Anindaya. Nirihaya Dvanda Titikshaya Cha. Ahimsaya Ahimsaya Paramahamsa Charyaya. Smritya Mukunda Charita Graya Siddhuna. Yamai Rakamai Niyamai Chapi Anindaya. Nirihaya Dvanda Titikshaya Cha. Ahimsaya Paramahamsa Charyaya. Smritya Mukunda Charita Graya Siddhuna. Nirichaya Paramahamsa Charyaya. Smritya Mukunda Charita Siddhuna. Yamai Akamai Niyamai Chapi Anindaya. Nirihaya Dvanda Titikshaya Cha. Yamai Akamai Niyamai Chapi Anindaya. Nirihaya Dvanda Titikshaya Cha. So I will read the translation. So this is a dialogue between Prithu Maharaj and the Kumaras. So it describes about the and very important aspects, how to make progress in Krishna consciousness. So this is all very instructive for all of us. So translation says, a candidate, actually there are 8 qualifications necessary for a devotee how to make progress in spiritual life. So this is devotional practices, therefore unless we are very conscious about developing these qualifications, that it will be very slow in spiritual life, in the progress in spiritual life. So it's very important for all of us to be conscious about these different points, especially 8. That here it mentions about 8 qualifications, how to make progress in spiritual life. So it says here, a candidate for spiritual advancement. The first qualification is that one must be ahimsaya means non-violence. In other words, one must be free from anger. I mean, one must be completely non-violence. Ahimsa means doing any harm to anybody else, even mentally, physically. Even in the mind, one should not be easily upset and trying to do some harm to others, any form of life. So the first qualification is that one must be very, very non-violent. That is the first qualification necessary in order to remain stable in Krishna consciousness. And the second qualification here, that one must follow in the footsteps of great acharyas. In other words, so it is necessary that we follow within the parampara system, that in Krishna consciousness, one must receive this knowledge through the process of disciplic succession. Acharyas means the acharyas, the teachers in Krishna consciousness, they come in the disciplic line, succession. So unless one gets that knowledge in that line, that one may not be properly connected. So this connection is very important. In other words, one must follow the footsteps of the authorized acharyas, authorized spiritual preceptors, leaders. So this is the second qualification required in order to make progress in spiritual life. And the third qualification, which is required, is that one must always remember the nectar of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, in the process of this Navabhidha Bhakti, the nine process of devotion, that the sarvanam, that is very important, means always hearing about the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. So by hearing these pastimes, that the process is that one's heart will be completely purified, and then one will be able to regain one's spiritual identity. So because without regaining that spiritual identity, then one would not be able to understand properly what is the ultimate duty that one has to perform. In other words, this is very important that we have to know who we are. In other words, in Krishna consciousness, that the subject matter that also becomes the object of study. So that who am I, we study who am I. So in other words, the subject I becomes the object of study. So by that study, then one begins to realize the nature of life. So at that understanding, one comes by hearing that the pastimes, the glories of Lord Sri Krishna. So this is the first and the second. Yes, this third qualification. The third qualification is that one must always remember the nectar of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the fourth qualification which is required is that one must follow the regulative principles. One must follow the regulative principles without material desire. In other words, one must be trained in discipline. And self-discipline is the proper way of observing these regulative principles. That when somebody says, "As my dear Sasana says, please don't do this, follow this," that unless one is convinced, and actually it may not last very long. So the best thing is to be self-convinced, and should be automatically we take the instructions of the scriptures and of the spiritual leaders, but plus we should be fully convinced that yes, these disciplines are good for my own desire, for my own benefit, for my own advancement in my spiritual life. That one has to be convinced. So that is the fourth qualification, that one must follow the regulative principles without material desire. So therefore, we say one must be free from intoxicants. One must not be do any harm to other living entities just for the satisfaction of the tongue. In other words, one must not kill any innocent living beings just for the satisfaction of the tongue. One must be total vegetarian. And so one must not pollute one's mind by impure thoughts or actions like gambling. Gambling is it pollutes the brain substance. The finer brain substance gets polluted by these. It is called impure thoughts. Similarly, by taking intoxicants, what happens is that the brain substance gets polluted. So in that, when the brain substance is contaminated by impurities, then the mind does not function properly. In other words, mind gets wandering more and more and demanding more and more unnatural, desires that come. So in order to, therefore, protect from this such a danger, one must follow the principles, the regulative principles. It's for my proper advancement in Krishna consciousness. One must follow the regulative principles, and also in the regulative principles, like the sense control, like when one wants to enter into household life, so that should be planned properly, and in other words, that one should not freely mix without proper understanding about the ultimate the purpose of life. But in the modern time, in the age of Kali, the society has been so much polluted with so many undesirable activities that many people in general lose the sense of nobility in a special relationship with boys and girls. So because of the social structure in around the world, the finer qualities of life are misunderstood. So that is the main reason of degradation in the society today, is primarily the finer qualities, the nobility, the gentleness, and the deeper aspects of culture, not so much prominent. Because of it's because of the nature of the yoga that we live in the age of Kali, symptoms are prominent. So one should be willing to protect from such difficulties. There is no illicit relationship with boys and girls, men and women. These are the prescribed principles of regulative principles. And so these principles are some kind of mild tapasya. Tapasya means austerity or discipline. And this tapasya, sometimes people think that tapasya is very difficult to perform. But actually, there should be great pleasure in tapasya, in observing tapasya. When one begins to have the taste of spiritual life, and tapasya, it's actually a great pleasure. It will be a great pleasure. One will get a taste of observing tapasya. Because tapasya is when one is observing tapasya, then Lord Vishnu is extremely pleased. He's extremely pleased. It's like when Lord Brahma, when he was empowered to create this universe, this material universe, that he did not know at the beginning what to do. But then when he got the message from the Supreme Lord that by doing tapasya. So when he undertook for 1,000 years of tapasya, then Vishnu came and saying that, "My dear Brahma, I am extremely pleased with your tapasya." So tapasya is actually in order to please Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, one must be willing to undertake is a tapasya. But our tapasya is very simple. It's not very difficult tapasya. Be free from all undesirable contaminations. So it's in order to be free from impurities, for our own benefit, we perform this simple tapasya in Krishna consciousness. So that's the fourth point, fourth qualifications necessary in order to make progress in Krishna consciousness. The fifth qualification which is required, while following the regulative principles, one should not blaspheme others. So this is the fifth qualification. In other words, one should not blame anybody else. It is not the duty of any person to blame anyone. Knowing that this material life is a place of danger, we should always pray for the blessings of the Supreme Lord. When someone is in difficulty, that we should rather pray instead of blaming anybody else. It is better to take this process of praying for the mercy of the Lord, so that the individual who is having difficulty is kindly protected or inspired by the blessings of the Lord. That is the proper standard of seeing things properly. But then people want to start blaming, blasphemy, others, why do you do this, why do you do that? And of course, for the concern, for the well-being of another person, another devotee, when a person is willing, nice words, that is always there. That should be welcome. That should be taken as coming for my own welfare, for my own well-being. Such an individual is giving me this lesson or this instruction. So if it can be understood properly, then that is a nice way of pointing out somebody's mistake for the welfare of the person. What is the point now? One should not blaspheme. Others. So that's the fifth point, the fifth qualification of a candidate who will be making progress in spiritual life. And the sixth point is that devotees should lead a very simple life. A simple life, in other words, one should not demand anything. If it comes by the mercy of the Lord, but one should not unnecessarily demand that, you should give me this, you should do this for me, this and that. So in other words, one should be always dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Simple life. Should live a simple life. The seventh point is that one should not be disturbed by the duality of opposing elements. In other words, in this material life, we always have to encounter the ups and downs, like good and bad. There's a duality, that joy and happiness, joy and sorrow, that the happiness and the sorrow. So it is experiences, the symptoms of material life, it's called duality. So this we have to experience. And knowing that, one should not be disturbed. So this is the seventh qualification that's required for practicing bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness. And the last point mentioned here is that he should learn to tolerate, how to tolerate, all these sometimes difficulties come on the way of Krishna consciousness. So it's called didikshava. Didikshava means one should be tolerant. One should learn how to tolerate. So this is a very important principle. And because oftentimes, you know, we lose our sense of responsibility, and we lose because of the influence of the love of most material nature. But then when we are properly situated in Krishna consciousness, then it is easy to tolerate. That is the very principle of Krishna consciousness, that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sikshastakam, when he chants Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarori Vasahishnana, Amani Namanadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari, Trinadapi Sunichena, and Tarori Vasahishnana. Tarori is the tree. The tree is always standing there, like especially in places like in the cold climates. You know, the trees, you know, in the fall season, the winter season comes, then you can see that the trees are standing without any leaves and look like only branches, and the snow is the snows are hanging from the branches, and look like it's a very difficult situation for the tree. But you can see that the symptoms are that they don't see any sign of a complaint that the tree is making. So such symptoms of tolerance is something that we can learn from this example. So Trinadabhi Sunishena Tarori Vasahishnuna. So one should become a humble attendee during the grass, straw in the street, and more tolerant than the tree. And amanina manadena, devoid of all sense of false prestige, that at that stage that one can chant the names of Hari, this Mahamantra, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, constantly. Kirtaniya Sadahari. So in this way, it's to become tolerant, to learn how to become tolerant is a very important principle in Krishna consciousness. Oftentimes we lose our temper, get angry, we try to transfer our difficulties to others. So that's the symptom of material nature. But if one becomes situated in Krishna consciousness, then one is free from such things. So this is for a dialogue between the Prithu Maharaj and the Sanat Kumar and his Kumaras, and so it is very instructive for all of us to remember these principles, so that we can study ourselves. These are our guides, how to study and prepare ourselves in order to make some progress in Krishna consciousness. So, so with that. So I'd like to say a little bit about the background of when Prabhupada was in this planet, and the teachings that he gave, one of the most important teachings is about this life comes from life. This you can say that it is science and the philosophy as well as the theology of Krishna consciousness. So this evening I'll just say a little bit about the background and continue for the next few days so long as I'm here. So I'll just give you the background how this principle came. So I was a student. I was at the University of California at Irvine. Irvine is near Laguna Beach in the Pacific Coast in California. Those who do know about America, especially California, and Laguna Beach is a very attractive tourist place. Small community, small town. It's about 1 hour south of Los Angeles. Los Angeles is the main city in California. the next city is San Francisco, which is about 1 hour by flight, or about 6.5 to 7 hours by car. So this is the southern part of California, and the climate is quite pleasant, and many tourists go there. It is the hills on one side and the ocean on the other side, Pacific Ocean. So it's a very attractive place. So when I was studying at the University of California and then started get the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, that I used to go every evening to see Prabhupada with one of my friends. He was also a scientist. He was from India. He was doing research on cancer. So it so happened that one day, he and I went to this Laguna Beach. He said, "Let's go for a walk in the beach." He said, and we saw some devotees there chanting. It's for the first time in America. This was in 1970. At about 7 8, about 10 devotees were chanting with a drum and with a dhoti and the shaved head. And we felt very strange because we saw for the first time these our Hare Krishna devotees. His name was Rabindra Rao, Dr. Rabindra Rao. He was from Gorakhpur. Near Gorakhpur is very close to Nepal, in the northern part of India. He was a professor there. He was also a chemist. So he said, "Let us follow and let's see what these people are doing." So we were following from a distance. We didn't want to be very close because we thought, it is a little bit unusual. And so he wanted to, we didn't want to lose them, but at the same time, we didn't want to be very close to them. Then after following a little while, then there was one devotee who saw that we are following them. And so he saw that both of us were slowly following them. So he stopped by and then he started talking to us. He gave a card saying that there is a temple in Laguna Beach and there is a Sunday, on Sunday there is love feast. And it's a very nice chanting and Mahaprasadam, Halwa, and Gauranga potato, and so please come next Sunday. So we got then we went. They went into a small building near the beach, and we also went inside. And I saw for the first time some pictures of Krishna on the walls of that some kind of a bar, restaurant. And so I saw it for the first time, that the pictures of Krishna. They had one book. There was a small book called Krishna, the Reservoir of All Pleasure. It's a very small book. But there I saw that the painting of Krishna on that book was, I saw the eyebrows are, so it was not exactly like Krishna, because what the idea of Krishna that I had in my childhood was is a little different than I saw there, the Krishna. But nonetheless, it was very attractive. And so I bought that small book that day. It was only 25 cents at the time, small booklet. Then it was already evening. Then we went back to our... I was in the campus, the university, and my friend, he lived in his apartment. I was in the university apartment.